You're listening to Montezuma Mixtape. I'm Greg Harpole.
And I'm Ian Mott.
On the show, we provide evidence to the claim that each and every individual has at least one story to tell. It's the story we tell around the campfire when we warm our hands and our ears are open. The story we tell on the first date to conjure laughter from across the table. The story that brings the party to a huddle and the night becomes a brimming reservoir of curiosity and superstitious happenstance. These stories are about ourselves, or stories we heard about someone else. About the dog your dorm mate taught to retrieve Mike's hard lemonade from the fridge. Or the beach whale that ruined your birthday at the coast.
These stories are heartwarming or disturbing. God's honest truth or a load of bunk. To put it simply, these stories are good stories. Moving, memorable, and repeatable.
The purpose of this show is to cultivate these stories. Give them a megaphone and show that a small town county is without exception full of big stories. Stories are what turn a community into a place of characters. Let's become familiar. This is an icebreaker where old news is encouraged.
Each episode we have a new guest. Each episode, a new story.
The second component of the show is music. Music to show how stories find new expression in other mediums and art forms that place us deeper into a thatching. Each week, there will be an original mixtape that aligns with the story of the week, not necessarily stylistically, but thematically. In one show, we may hear from the Mamas and the Papas, Johann Sebastian Bach, and the Sex Pistols. So listen close and connect dots.
Morning shine. Do you need another mule skinner out on your new mud line? Doodle-dee-dee.
All right, this week we're here with Mancus John. He's got a story for us.
This here story's called The Magical Bears of Bear Creek. And, well, let me just tell you how I came into these circumstances. Mancus John is what folks call me ever since I wandered out of them mountains and into town a few years back. Now, the story I'm about to tell you may sound too fantastical to believe, but here I am, proof the story is true. How and why it happened to me is anyone's guess. All I know is, one day, it was 1905, and the next, it was the year 2005.
100 years from this day, will the people...
Like most greenhorn miners, I traveled a long distance to the Colorado Rockies. I knew riches lay there waiting for the lucky prospector with the nose for finding it. Jack, my new partner, and I found ourselves in a place where they were finding silver by the ton. They called the town that sprang up in the valley Silverton, a wild west town if there ever was one. Well, while prospecting a promising mountainside, Jack started a ruckus, kicking the air with his hoofs. At his feet, a rich silver vein lay buried. Well, I'd spend the day hammering the rich silver from the vein, then Jack would haul the silver ore into town where it was sold for a good day's wage. In the summer of 1905, Jack and I set out to places we thought might not be prospected out yet. Well, fall was coming on quick, and we were having dismal luck prospecting. Provisions were running low. Then something strange and mysterious happened. I've come to learn It's not such a strange thing in the Colorado Rockies for something more extraordinary to be going on. Well, we found ourselves in Bear Creek, following a trace of gold upriver, hoping it would lead us to where it was coming from. And I was minding my own business, panning in the river, when the hair on the back of my neck stood straight out. I smelt a bear upwind of me. I slowly turned my head, and there he was, sitting on his derriere right next to all my goods, quiet like, giving me a bear stare. This was no ordinary bear. He was a Colorado grizzly bear, and a big one at that. Colorado grizz is 2 foot shorter than his Montana cousins, with more of a golden color to his coat. The hair was long on the sides of his face, and with those little round ears, he resembled a tiger. A black bear, small, cute, cuddly. Colorado grizz? Why, you could die of fright if that grizz looked at you wrong. It's that drilling dust. When Jack first spied that bear, he froze in fear. There's still a maw full of sweet grass in Jack's muzzle that he hadn't swallowed yet. Well, I figured that bear could have had us for dinner already, if that was his intention. Instead, that bear was pawing on one of my supply sacks and letting out a bleeding bear howl. Well, he spilled the contents of that sack onto the forest floor and gently pawed at something. That bear nodded his head and grumbled the way bears grumbled. He looked at me, and then what he was pawing, and then me again. Well, that bear must have thought me daft for not understanding him. He was playing with the honey jar. It was a luxury item I liked with my tea in the morning. Well, that grizz got up, meandered over to me where I was still squatting in the river with the pan in my hands. He came right up to my face and stuck his nose right in that gold pan, sniffing on the gold that was at the bottom. Well, after a moment, he looked up and let out a big old bear growl. Well, I don't know if you ever had the pleasure of meeting a bear, but their breath sure stinks to high heaven. Well, that bear then walked over to that honey jar and gently picked it up in his mouth and hit it upstream, pausing till I followed. Well, we walked about a half mile when he stopped and laid the honey down. The grizz sniffed the air and proceeded to track around the woods and through Bear Creek, finally stopping at a point next to the river. Well, he scraped a shallow hole on the bank of the river and did a little bear dance. He nodded his head and picked up that jar of honey and disappeared through the woods. Well, I panned where that bear had indicated and found a couple of good pieces of gold there. So I moved my camp right to that spot, having to drag Jack most of the way. He was still scared of that bear and didn't trust him at all. Said that bear just wanted to eat us. I told Jack that bear wouldn't eat us. Did he listen? No! That mule-headed mule, he hawed all day long about getting eaten by that bear. So I just couldn't stand to listen to Jack anymore. I took a gamber up the mountain slope and quickly came to an old digging, obscured by the trees. I climbed the dirt mound and was looking right at an old tunnel. Well, I saw right away rich gold ore was heaped in piles around the entrance. And just inside that tunnel were three human skeletons sitting against the wall of the mine, looking like they were plain bored to death. Well, what if Jack was right? Did that grizzly kill those men? Well, impossible, I thought. One skull still wore a Spanish helmet, which would have made those skeletons very old. Being uneasy about the situation, I grabbed as much gold ore as I could and headed back to camp. Jack sure was glad we were leaving right away. It was late in the day and we gained as much distance as we could from that place before dark. Well, it took a few days to make it to the nearest city, which was Durango. I sold the gold ore to a gold merchant and proceeded to relax for a few days at the local cantina. Well, I decided I shouldn't be scared of a big old grizzly. So I bought a grizzly rifle just in case that big old bear had any bad ideas. I packed up as many provisions as Jack and I could carry, and off we went. When we made it up halfway up Bear Creek, we were ambushed by that big grizzly, looking like he was ready to rip our heads off. Well, I've never been too sharp, but I knew concerning this bonanza, honey was as good as gold. So I showed that bear what I had brought him, special-like from Durango. As much honey as I could find. Oh, that big old bear was pleased. He let out such a bear howl and had such a silly look on his face. Then he started licking his tongue in the air and shaking his body around like he was dancing. Well, he noticed Jack and I staring at him mystified like. Well, that's when he regained his bear-like composure, looking stern and grumbly. Well, he motioned us to follow, and I guess Jack knew better than the wine. And we followed that grizz past the gold mine a ways and then up a watery ravine a little, where a small, beautiful valley was nestled against the mountain, well hidden from view. And there, playing in the water and sunning on the rocks and generally having a good old bear time was a whole community of those Colorado grizzlies. Well, they all stopped at once and looked. They were as shocked to see me as I was to see them. The big old grizz broke the ice and motioned us along. We came to a big boulder in the shape of a big bowl. And in the bowl were heaps of berries I've never seen before. The bushes were all around and the The bears were stripping the branches out the berries and placing them in the big boulder bowl. Another bear would stomp on them while cleaning out the sticks and leaves what looked to be a brew. Then that big old grizz instructed me to dump all that honey into that big boulder bowl. And all them bears started howling like bears howl, licking the air and doing that funny dance bears do. They were making bear juice from the ripe berries, which I've come to call bear berries. Well, then that big old grid led us back to the edge of that valley and motioned us to leave. And that last look that big old grizz gave us indicated what would happen if we ever told anyone about the valley or the grizzlies. Well, Jack let out a hee-haw like he understood, and I gave a bear nod, and we headed down to the old mine where we would camp. Well, I didn't waste any time. I walked down that tunnel to the end where the mining work had stopped over 100 years earlier by the Spanish. And there, in the candlelight, the vein of gold the Spanish were following appeared like a ghost in the dark. A vein of white quartz, 2 feet thick, was bespeckled with glowing bits of native gold. I never did see, nor will see, anything more beautiful in all my life. I was so overwhelmed with the prospect, I spent the rest of the day filling rawhide sacks of gold with gold ore, and I dragged them sacks next to them skeletons just to keep them all company. Well, being late fall, beautiful warm autumn could change to winter in a heartbeat. Not having enough supplies to last the long winter, we decided to head back to civilization the next day with as much gold ore as we could carry. That morning, I barely had time to drink my tea when out of the brush comes a young bear, motioning Jack and I should follow him up to the hidden valley. Well, Jack reluctantly followed, as he still didn't trust those bears, and we followed that young bear up there where all those grizz were making quite the ruckus. Them bears were lapping up the bearberry juice out of that big boulder bowl. When they saw Jack and I, they motioned us up to that bowl to do some lapping up of that concoction. Well, I didn't want to be a bad guest. The bears being kind enough not to kill me and showing me the gold to boot. So we stepped up to that big boulder bowl and started lapping like the bears were lapping. They all grumbled their approval, and all of them grizz started dancing again and doing all kinds of bear things bears do when they're having a good old bear time. Well, that bearberry juice tasted a lot like sarsaparilla soda pop without the fizz. Jack sure liked the taste and drank as much as he could. Well, I drank more bearberry juice and did some bear dancing with those grizz. It was as warm and beautiful a fall day as one could imagine, with clear blue skies up above. Well, as the day wore on, I made several trips to that big boulder bowl. Old Jack didn't move much from that bowl. He lapped at that bear berry juice most of the day. Once a mule gets a notion in his head, there's nothing stopping him from doing what he's doing. Well, I was sure having the time of my life, and for some reason was getting very sleepy, when all of a sudden them bears became somber and quiet. They're all sniffing the air and looking to the west, where there was a solid bank of clouds coming from that direction. There was a massive rumbling from the bears, and they wandered off slowly. The party was over. Well, I don't know what was in the bearberry juice. By that time, I could barely keep my eyes open, and Jack and I were the only ones left by the big boulder bowl. Jack contentedly lapped at the juice that was left, oblivious as to what was going on around him. Well, that wall of clouds could be a full-fledged snowstorm. I knew we were in trouble if caught in a blinding snowstorm. Them bears were going to take all winter to sleep off that big boulder bowl of that bearberry juice. I could see them bears were walking up to their winter dens, nestled in the cliffs above the high valley. And that old mine was much farther away, and we were in no shape to get there in any hurry. Jack, we have to get to that old mine before the snow hits. Well, I pulled on his halter, but he refused to leave that bowl as there was still juice left. Well, I was pulling and pushing on Jack the best I could when that snow hit like a runaway ore train. Summer changed to winter in a heartbeat. Well, it was bad enough that bearberry juice was putting me to sleep. And now I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face, and we were still standing by that bowl. Well, I guess that cold, wet snow might have brought Jack to his senses, because he hee-hawed his apologies and headed to the edge of that high valley. Well, I held on to Jack's halter so he wouldn't lose me. And I was barely conscious of which direction to go. From the best day to the worst day of my life in a flash. It was getting dark, and we were still far from the mine. That snow piled up quickly, and I constantly slipped on the wet snow. Jack was leading the way, stubbornly pulling me along as I held his halter for dear life. I knew Jack could find his way to that mine with his good mule sense. Even in a blinding snowstorm, he knew where he was going. Well, I finally nodded off, letting go of his halter and falling to the snow. And out of sheer desperation, I called out my good buddy's name. Jack! I thought I heard a hee-haw before I fell asleep. Next thing I remember, Jack's pulling me through the snow with his teeth. How he got me to the back of that old mine, I'll never know. But there, he threw a blanket on me, and that was the last I remembered. I can always count on that, Jack. He's awful good to me. When I woke up, it was dark. Except for a small hole of daylight above the tunnel entrance. Well, Jack was lying next to me, snoring away. Which might be the only reason why I woke up. He was covered with his blanket, which curiously looked as old and dusty as my own. Well, I dug my way out of that mine, wondering how all that dirt fell overnight. And then I noticed how everything was different looking. Young trees were where old ones had stood, and old trees were where young ones had been. And the trees were blooming their leaves like it was spring. It was supposed to be autumn. Nothing was the same except for the mountains. They were unchanged. Well, I lit a candle and tried to wake Jack, but he snored louder. And that's when I noticed that the old Colorado Grizz had crawled into that mine when he knew he was dying. Seems I was a friend of his after all. Well, my clothes were in tatters and I was cold. So I fashioned a coat from his bear hide, bless his soul. Jack finally woke up when I poured cold water on his head. It took a while to dig a hole big enough for Jack to squeeze out of. And then I grabbed myself two of them rawhide sacks of gold, and we headed for the nearest civilization, which was the town of Mancus. So here I am telling you this tall tale, which is a fact to me. Now don't think I'm going to be telling you where that old Spanish mine is located. Even old miners need something to retire on. Besides, there's no reason why anyone should be bothering some of the last grizzly bears left in Colorado. And if you do find yourself going up there, they might not be as kind to you if you don't have the honey to be giving them.
Just mounting it up, roll west toward the coast. The six shooters in the holster pass through a run downtown whose walls hold my poster. The closer I get to depth, which is every second, makes me sweat. So I gotta have what I can get. Heard word about the gold rush.
You've been listening to Montezuma Mixtape. Our guest has been our neighbor, Mangus John. I'm Greg Harple.
And I'm Ian Mott. Please join us next time for another story from Montezuma County.
When he had that beef pipe smoke, I almost choked. Before they get right, I'm off into the sun. My destiny fast. It's not drilling guest. 40 post cocked, I ain't making no more stops till I hit the spot. I made it 12 on a dot. I slid off my boots, counted my loot. 5 minutes after the strike of midnight, I counted 200 G's. I cocked my strap and slept tight. Had to go, had to go, had to go, had to go, had to go.
As long as you got it, I'm fine with it.